Curious. You would make an excellent Cephalon, Tenno.
Welcome to Cephalon Squared, a Warframe community and podcast. Find out how to join the collective by heading over to our website at cephalonsquared.com. Now, here are your Cephalons, Greg and Lucas.
G'day, Cephalon Collective, and welcome to the 111 episode.
111 episode.
Of Cephalon Squared. I'm Cephalon Greg. You just heard Cephalon Lucas.
Here I am.
Yay!
I did a thing. We're here. Greetings.
There he is. The thing. Yay.
Woo.
Woo. So it was a good week. Of course it was a good week. It's been a good week for all. And if you are a Warframe fan, it is, well, it's a good time to be a Warframe fan. And if you haven't played Warframe, you're not listening to this podcast. But if you know anyone that hasn't played Warframe, make sure you tell them. Now's a good time to start. For various reasons, which we'll get into.
We will get into. But first...
Weather Rambles.
Now for your favorite segment, featuring Cephalon Greg and Cephalon Lucas as they ramble their way through, you guessed it, Weather Rambles.
Weather Rambles.
Weather Rambles.
Weather Rambles.
Weather Rambles.
How's the weather up north?
Here in the little city of Ipswich, it is currently 22 degrees Celsius with a 57% humidity. It looks like it did some raining overnight and is just now kind of cloudy, sunny, cloudy, sunny, cloudy, sunny.
But comfortable.
Yeah.
71 degrees Fahrenheit. Nice and comfy. Down here in Melbourne town, it's 19 degrees, which is also pretty comfy. 67 degrees Fahrenheit, 41% humidity. It was a lovely, lovely day yesterday. It may as well have been smack bang in the middle of spring. Sun was out. It was gorgeous. I was looking out my window from lockdown going, oh, man, imagine what it'd be like to be out there in that sunshine. Nice dream. Good song by Radiohead. You should listen to it.
Maybe soon. Maybe soon.
Yeah. Well, it should be, because we've just gotten under 100 for the first time in like four or five weeks, under 100 cases
oh, nice.
In a day. So look at us.
Yay.
We're down, back things, down to double digits instead of the triple digits.
Things are starting to look a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
So I think things are still looking pretty bad here in Queensland now.
Yeah, it's starting to ramp up there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Damn. You just can't win with this virus.
Nope.
Or if you're a person who denies the virus even exists, you're wrong.
You're wrong.
But let's move on. We're not a political cast. Think what you like, people. Think what you like. Just don't let it harm others. Moving on to what we did in Cephalon Warframe time. What'd you get up to in Warframe or video games this week, Lucas?
Well, we all know Heart of Deimos came out, and that is a thing that we will be discussing this episode. So there's definitely been a lot of Heart of Deimos gameplay. I think we will. I think we should, at least.
Yeah, why not?
Maybe. Someone should. So there's been that, but I also found at the very start of the week a new game. Well, it's an old game. It's from back in 2018, but I've just discovered it, and I am absolutely in frickin' love with it, and I have basically spammed a few people with links to this game because they need to play it.
Wrap it up, cowboy. What's it called?
Break Arts 2. Break Arts 2. Neither had I until the start of the week. And, oh my god, if you are a fan of the mech genre, then this is a game for you. Holy damn. I have never seen so much customization. Like, I know I ramped up the mass builder customization, but this just absolutely decimates that and like hits it way out of the freaking ballpark. You can do some really, really, really crazy things with your mech building in this, and it's not your typical mech game. Instead, this is a mech racing game.
Mm.
Yes, and the whole premise is that you are an artist, so be an artist and be awesome at it and destroy the competition. So it's freaking awesome. I love it. Check it out on Steam. It's actually really relatively cheap, like $25 Australian.
Interesting.
Super, super good.
You lost me at mech, but you regained me at racing. Mech racing.
Yeah. Mech racing. How freaking cool is that?
That is pretty cool. I might check it out.
So damn good. Yes. Thank check you, it out. Lucas. It's awesome.
Now, community, brace yourselves. Brace yourselves. Tie yourselves into a chair. Make sure you're unable to fall from said chair onto said, the floor beneath said chair. I've been playing Warframe this week. A shit ton of Warframe. Not just a lot. And I started playing a lot of Warframe before Heart of Deimos came out. I've been playing fucking tons of Warframe. In fact, I've hit MR25. I even ranked up.
Whoa. Calm down, Greg. Calm down.
Indeed. But every time I get on PS4, I do know people, but I'm just, you know, shucks. I'm all shy to ask people to join me in my my Heart of Deimosing. So I've been soloing, and I have kind of been struggling to do certain things because, as we will talk about, some of Heart of Deimos is tricky.
Yes.
We'll get to that. We'll get to that. But yeah, I played a lot of Warframe, plus Mortal Kombat and Raid.
Of course.
And a game called Pistol Whip VR on PSVR, which I did a review of on Power Up Gaming Australia. Very, very good VR game. It's fun.
Nice. Nice. I like it. I like it a lot.
But this week is going to be a crazy, crazy episode. We're going to skip beginner and advanced topics for obvious reasons, because there was a home dev stream this week, and we are yet to talk about Heart of Deimos, whatever. So it's going to be a double discussion.
Double discussion! Woo!
Woo! There's not much news to lead into the double discussion. Pretty much the news is that Heart of Deimos came out, but let's read it out.
All right. Heart of Deimos is out on all platforms.
Woohoo! The Switch was a little delayed and came out, I think, 2 days after everything else, but it is out on all platforms. Yay.
Yay. Now that Heart of Deimos is out and all the creators are streaming, there are a bunch of Tenno Gen Prex cards to collect, so watch any streamer in the Warframe channel for 20 consecutive minutes for your random drops, and they do look pretty.
They do. Now, they did change that from 20 consecutive minutes to, I think, an hour, because the servers were getting pounded by people watching Warframe. So keep an eye on the forums to see where things are at. But in other words, just keep watching Warframe creators, and you'll get your Tenno cards. Now, that's anyone. If you want to stream Warframe and your friends want to watch you, they can get Prex cards from watching you as well. Or Cephalon Squared's a thing that exists.
Yay!
On Twitch, don't forget it.
Don't forget it. We're a thing.
Indeed. And speaking of Cephalon Squared, because that is really all the Warframe news, given they had a massive update that came out, fair enough, we decided, at long last, screw it, let's just make a frickin' Alliance emblem. So we did. We made an Alliance emblem.
We did it!
And they are coming to all platforms very soon. It is already available on PC, possibly available on Switch, because I did submit it for Switch. I don't know when, whether or not there have been follow-up updates since Heart of Deimos came out. But it's definitely available on PC. You are ready to slap it on your shoulders if that's your thing. If you're in the Alliance and you've been wishing you could have a Cephalon Squared glyph, well, now you can. We decided to keep it very close to the plain old Cephalon Squared emblem, but we added a little wreath around it for unity and made it all sorts of funky colours.
Yay!
For inclusion, I guess.
Yes.
We represent you all.
We are the collective.
Yes.
The unity of the collective.
It looks pretty good.
It does. It looks fantastic.
I'm happy with it.
Yeah.
Alliance emblems! Yay!
Woo! Awesome.
And that's the news.
That's the news. It was, Pretty quick news.
Yeah, I think it was a minute. Minute and a half, maybe. I don't know. 2 minutes. Regardless, we are now moving on into the discussion, and we're going to start with the home dev stream because it will address some things that are being fixed about Heart of Deimos, which will lead our following discussion. It was a short
Admittedly.
One. It was shorter than usual.
15, 20 minutes shorter than normal.
Yeah. So it was shorter than usual, and a lot of what they were talking about was just how they had released Heart of Deimos. So we're not going to cover every single point they talked about, just the important things that we feel is newsworthy. So did you want to kick it off with home dev stream number 5, Lucas?
I shall. All right, starting off, the Skintillant issue. People have been wondering whether or not this item actually exists, and it does. It really does. So thanks to the devs, they've decided to up the drop rate of it, and it now people know it definitely does exist.
Yeah, people were complaining about it a lot, a hell of a lot, but it does exist. In fact, I got 2 in one vault run that we did last night.
One vault. Yeah. Yeah.
It certainly exists. Yay! Because we weren't finding it. Next up, of course, there have been hotfixes galore, and it's not just on PC. They actually have been managing to put hotfixes out on consoles because they don't have to go through the full certification process for hotfixes. I don't know exactly how much constitutes something that doesn't require a full certification process, but at the time of recording the dev stream, they had done 4 hotfixes on PC and 2 on Xbox and PS4. So that's pretty cool.
Yay!
So we are getting... And that's why I think maybe if the Switch is also getting hotfixes, maybe the Alliance emblem is available there because it came to PC with a hotfix. So,
yay! Sweet! Next one we've already kind of touched on is Don't Forget Your Prex campaign.
Yeah.
Gotta get those cool ass decorations.
Yeah, they're cool.
They're pretty.
Cool ass is in one word hyphenated, not cool ass decorations, because that would be weird. Cool ass decorations. Just had to clarify that.
Yeah.
You're welcome, Lucas. Since release, the team has been focused on hotfixes. Ha ha! They're pretty happy with the way it's going, but they also said that there's more to do before they do take a rest, and it won't be a holiday. They'll just be, you know, breathing.
They'll be able to breathe.
Yeah. So they're looking forward to breathing.
Yes. And the next part is really interesting. As Zaku is a community frame, they will be reviewing them over time, and changes will be made based on the community's feedback. So the Zaku you play now will likely play differently in a few weeks' time.
That is interesting.
It is very interesting.
And we've both played a little Zaku. I haven't played a lot, but we've both played a little, so we will talk about that in our second discussion.
Indubitably. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right. They also mentioned that there's been lots of community fan art for all of the new characters from Heart of Deimos, which is really uncommon for their updates. Usually they have 1 or 2 that gets lots of fan art, but this time pretty much everyone's been getting fan art. So they've done something right, obviously.
Well, the characters are amazing. But more on that in the next discussion. Yes. Showed off some concept art for what eventually became the Heart of Deimos. Especially interesting were a couple of the concept arts for the Entrati themselves. This was really damn cool, and if you haven't seen this, then you should probably go back and watch the dev stream on YouTube, because these pieces of art were...
Phenomenal.
Were something. They're phenomenal.
And amazing. Very hard to describe.
Yes.
All I can say is... hallucinatory.
Yeah.
They look like horror movies. Horror movie hallucinations.
Yeah. It was crazy. It's crazy
bits
shit.
Of skulls and internal organs, and it's weird. I kind of wished they had have gone down that path, but I'm happy with what the Entrati are now anyway, but
yes.
Yeah. They could have been very different. Concept art's always fun.
It is. I love concept art.
Now, the next piece that came up was really interesting because it was just an off-cuff comment that someone made about, hey, what if we got Lloyd as a Sentinel skin? And then Steve or Scott or Jeff or someone said, we are. We are adding Lloyd as a Sentinel skin, which is interesting. Now, I didn't put this note in there, but they did say later on in the dev stream as well that when Lloyd is introduced as a Sentinel, will he have his own voices because the other Sentinels make noises? Now, the reason I found that interesting is because it may not be that Lloyd's coming as a Sentinel skin. He may be coming as an actual sentinel.
Yes. That'd be interesting.
So, whether he comes as a skin for an existing sentinel or as a just a whole new sentinel, wow.
Well, if they do that, then it opens up a whole new branch in the game where, I mean, Lloyd is a Cephalon. Well, Lloyd is two Cephalons. So, in making a Cephalon a sentinel, does this mean that later on down the track we may be able to get Ordis as a sentinel?
But maybe that's looking into it too much. Maybe when they say
maybe
they're just saying that they're bringing Lloyd's shell as a sentinel, because Lloyd himself is a Cephalon within a shell.
Yeah.
So it's hard to say what they're actually going to do, but yeah, if they do bring, well, they wouldn't bring Lloyd himself because I guess with Cephalons there can only be one. I'm guessing.
Eh.
The Highlander. There can only be one. There can be only one. And they have to decapitate
maybe it's
each other.
Maybe it's a Lloyd Sentinel skin for Ordis.
Could be. It could be. And now we're entering into Lucas territory.
Crazy bullshit.
Next up.
All right. If you thought there was things missing from this Heart of Deimos update, then yes, you may be correct. Infested kit guns will be coming, and they will be coming to Father. Yay! The plan is that the infested parts can work with the Fortuna parts. So, awesome, more possibilities. This means secondaries, this means primaries. It's going to be awesome and crazy, and I cannot wait.
Yeah, and the parts look really cool. Yeah, I'm just looking forward to that. That's going to be good. We were thinking, of course, that the Necromechs were going to be the modular things that are coming, and in some ways it is, but the Necromechs are locked behind a tougher grind and
a secondary reputation.
Exactly. So this is something that will be coming to the primary reputation alongside something else that we didn't expect to be in there, the modular pets, which we'll talk about.
Modular pets, yes. Yep, yep.
All right, next up, they also showed off some potential new enemies, which looked a bit different. One was all legs, the other was all mouth and legs.
Yes.
Don't know what they are. Just obviously they're not finished with Deimos, and they're going to be bringing more enemies to it.
Yep.
Hands up in the air.
The mouth and legs ones they did mention is actually going to be a conservational animal.
Ah, okay.
The one with the weird-ass mouth. They even said its name, and I can't remember its name. It was a...
I think it was a working name, but it was like Zalu, Zaku, or something.
Yeah.
They kept screaming it out.
They kept screaming out. I can't remember the name. I'm terrible with names. But the leg enemies, there was actually two different alterations of this, and they can combine to form a
pair of legs on top of legs.
Yeah, a bipedal four-legged creature.
Bipedal four-legged?
Yeah, as because it stands. It stands. No, no, it stands upright. It stands on two legs, but it has four legs.
Yeah.
So it's a bipedal quadruped. Yeah, it's fucking weird.
It is. It is. It's weird. It does stand on two legs, is right.
Yeah. Well done, DE, for, you know, just making more crazy stuff. It's cool. Just
nothing wrong with
introduce
that.
Introduce more crazy things.
We like it. We like it a lot.
Yes. Necromech pieces will be tradable in the next update, and I think that update has already hit, possibly. Maybe.
Didn't you say that you had traded parts with...
I traded broken parts so that I could actually make the parts that are currently available.
Okay.
So maybe. Necromechs will be available in all of the open worlds to start, as they actually are presently, but they want to maybe add them everywhere else. So this is also there will also be a second mech to track down.
Indeed.
Necromech stuffs.
And the second mech looks better than the first one, I think.
I agree.
So hopefully there'll be more mechs as well in the future, but either way...
It has a shield.
Yes, it does have a shield, but it wasn't in the picture, so we don't know what it looks like.
It wasn't in the picture, no.
But yeah, the necks are going to be a lot of fun. Just think about the future when you're doing long-term survivals on the steel path and you can jump into your mech.
Oh,
it's
yes.
going to be fun.
So much fun.
Good show, dear. Good show, old pal. And the last bit of news that we thought was worth mentioning from Home Dev Stream number 5 was that, of course, necromechs are customizable via your arsenal, so you can change up the colors however you like, and that does mean neon mechs are incoming. Watch out, Tenno.
Yeah.
Mine will be bright on the eyes.
I'm not even surprised.
Mm-hmm. Too many of you people out there take fashion frame far too seriously. It's time for me to make a vomit frame. Sorry, a
yes,
vomit
Greg.
Mech.
I mean, Greg.
Vomit mech. Phew. So that was DevStream number 5. Anything else you remember from there that we forgot?
No, I think that's pretty much all the important stuff.
Because I was getting annoyed by my kids while I was trying to make notes. So yeah, I possibly missed stuff, but I think that was everything.
I mean, that's the important stuff.
Yeah.
Important. Woo.
Importante. And this is a good point because we just finished the first discussion, so it's the perfect point to move on to discussion number 2, Heart of Deimos update itself. So before we go into the individual components, Lucas, I'm going to ask you a question that you asked me last night on the stream. Out of 10, what do you give the Heart of Deimos update?
After a grueling experience and playing the hell out of it and, you know, just investing so much time into it already, I'm going to have to give it a 7.5.
A 7.5?
7.5. Yes.
Interesting. That was what you gave it last night, I think.
It was what I gave it last night, yes. What about you, Greg?
I am going to stick with what I gave it last night, which is an 8.
Mm.
And we'll get into why, but the basic reason for me is that it's a really good update. It's got some problems, but it's better than Fortuna was. Much better.
It's better than Fortuna was, and I'm actually going to say it's better than what... It's better than what Planes of Eidolon was.
Probably better than Planes of Eidolon 2. I think it probably deserves maybe to be a higher score than 8. 9!
I'm going to stick with my 7.5.
You stick with it. I'm going to 9. I'm moving on up. Moving on up. But anyway, let's talk about the individual components. We'll start with the easy, quick one first. What do you think of the new player experience?
Wow. Cinematic looks amazing. I like the fact that they actually revamped the starting tile set as well. For that very first mission, they revamped that up, and it's a lot more linear.
It's gorgeous.
And definitely easier on the eyes. And in looking at specifically the part where the tutorial goes, all right, here, this is how you do parkour, they actually made the landscape somewhat... requirement of parkour properly, which is really damn good.
Indeed. I agree. I was actually going to mention that. I guess one of the things I didn't like about it is that it only requires you to do parkour once.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it would have been better to probably have required that on a few occasions.
I mean, parkour is like a massive part of Warframe, so yes, yeah. I completely agree there.
But overall, it's really good, but it really is just that one first mission, and that leads straight into the same old
Vorse Prize. Yeah. So it's very much the same as it was before, you know, very similar setup. Pick up your weapon, here's how you do parkour, pick up your next weapon, kill a few enemies, oh look, there's Vor. Pick up your next weapon and defend Ordis while he fucking starts off the engines.
Yeah.
It's pretty much the same as it was, just a much visually improved aesthetic and a much more linear landscape, so you actually know which direction you're always heading in. You don't have to jump backwards and forwards.
Yeah, exactly. Did the original first level also include a little hacking console?
Yes.
It did. Oh, okay.
It did, yes.
I thought that was new with this, but obviously it wasn't. But still, overall, a much better introduction to Warframe than the previous was. But I still think it's not the fix everyone was hoping for the start of the game.
It's an improvement.
Yeah, it's definitely a better... It is what it says on the box. It's a new player experience. It's a new player experience. So that's what it is. They didn't say it was going to be... We were just reading between the lines, really, when we thought it was going to be a whole new introduction to the game that was going to make things like modding and stuff clearer to players. But, oh well, it's a start, isn't it?
It's a start. It is definitely a start.
So, kudos. Yes. And I actually enjoyed playing through it. And I recommend people to do so. At least once.
It was a lot of fun to play through, and that cinematic.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. It now gives you an understanding of what you're getting yourself into when you play the game.
So juicy. I loved it.
Yeah. In the past, all it was wake up, Tenno, or whatever, with the picture of the Earth, and that was it. And you kind of didn't understand what the fuck was going on. Now you've got this cool old stuff.
Some crazy space Russian landed and decided to put something on your leg.
Exactly. Space Russian. And now there's some weird girl who we don't really know who she is.
Yeah, that's a weird one. A
little confusing, but... A little bit
confusing. We've had a few people say maybe it's another Tenno, maybe it's like your Tenno. I theorize that it's actually one of Lotus's agents, maybe.
Yeah, or it's just a different Tenno. Who knows? We don't really know.
No, I don't think there's really any way to know.
Yeah.
I think it's just kind of what is your interpretation of it.
Yeah, self-interpretation. Yeah. All right, so that's a new player experience. Next up, Zaku.
Zaku.
What do you think?
I expect big changes in the upcoming in the upcoming weeks.
To what?
His kit.
How?
Complete overhaul.
In what way? Jeez, you're being so freaking.
I feel like I'm being very open and obvious here. Everything needs fixing.
What's wrong and why?
Everything needs fixing. Honestly, his third ability is kind of trash. I do not like his third ability at all. Like, there's only one of those three abilities I actually use, and even then, I don't use it because I want to, and I don't really use it because I need to. I use it because it's there and it kind of should be used. His fourth ability, I don't touch. I don't touch his fourth ability. It's not... It's bad. It's so bad.
Really?
And the second ability, okay? The one ability I thought was actually going to be his best ability is his best ability. But even then, that needs work because it's just
what
so-
does his second do again?
The second one is where he sends out the tentacles to steal enemies' weapons.
Oh, that's right.
It is an amazing ability. It's a great concept. But the range is 6 meters, and it lasts all of, like, 12 seconds.
And what does it do for, Infested?
It creates a little orb of energy behind you that shoots.
Okay.
So it does actually create weapons for enemies that don't have weapons. It just visualizes them as a little orb of energy that blasts.
Because the only two abilities that I've unlocked in time for this episode are the first two. So I haven't had a chance to use his third. That's his grenades, isn't it?
The third ability is the one where he can swap between the three different frames abilities.
Oh, that's right. Yes. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And then the fourth ability is where he sheds his skin and becomes skeletal.
Yeah. I didn't find that the second ability even did anything. I didn't even notice the orbs.
No, well, the range on his second ability is like 6 meters, so you've got to be really damn close to enemies to be even able to freaking get to do anything.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous how small of a range it is, and the duration is equally shocking. It really does not last long enough.
Yeah.
Like, even going for a duration build, I think mine lasts, like, 15 seconds. So I get spectral guns for, like, 15 seconds. Like, ooh, yay!
So even when you've got a full duration build, all you're getting is 15 seconds.
Well, it's not a full duration build yet, but I'm already up to, like, 180% duration. And it's not a massive... I think it gave me, like, a full 3-second increase.
Yay!
Yay! Oh my god, that's amazing.
Well, now I understand really why helps. It didn't work for me, because I don't think I had any enemies within 6 meters.
So you got to be really damn close to enemies, and it's really, really disappointing. As far as his first ability goes, that's the only one I actually like. Really,
his first ability works, but
his worst it works. Yeah,
it's weird. It's just. Makes your weapon stronger. That's it.
Yeah, it just gives you a damage buff.
It doesn't feel like an ability.
It gives you a damage buff and coats your weapon in void energy, so if you're using something with high status, then the enemy will be given a freaking bullet-attracting bubble.
Yeah. So it's...
Whoopee.
Yeah, it does significantly make your weapons better, though. I did notice.
It does, definitely.
So that's good.
As for his... passive. They did something interesting with his passive, and...
What is his passive?
His passive is he has a 25% chance for projectiles to pass straight through him.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. But I'm not impressed.
Fair enough. I'm impressed by the look. I've enjoyed...
Aesthetic, he looks amazing. Yeah,
I enjoyed the fashion frame with him. I chose to actually keep with the broken frame... feel, and I put all different pieces on different arms, so different piece on left arm and different piece on the right arm and left leg and right leg, and it's come out looking really good. So nice. I'm pretty happy with the way Zaku looks, but again, yeah, I didn't think his second did anything, and now I understand why, and his first, it works, but it's just weird. It works in a weird way.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's plenty of damage buffs out there. I don't know how to explain it. It doesn't feel like
it doesn't feel like something new. Yeah. It doesn't feel like a new ability. It just feels like a revamped ability.
Yeah. So
reskinned ability. I don't know. Yeah.
So absolutely, by the sounds of things, Zaku is going to get a whole bunch of reworks. So, and he deserves it. It'll happen.
He does. Yeah.
Anything else on Zaku?
That's my opinion.
That's your opinion?
Nope. That's my opinion. Oh, actually, wait, no. One more thing on Zaku. His war fans are amazing.
Oh, they are. Okay.
They are so damn good. His war fans are freaking amazing. They are the best part of the Zaku set.
Explain why.
Basically, they are dual-wielding magic gunblades. If you heavy attack with these things, you... basically send out a flurry of energy blades. Yes. So damn cool. You
did explain that to me.
So they did exactly what they wanted to do, and you don't necessarily throw the fans, but you send out an energy gust of blades that does some hefty damage over a range, and it's really damn cool. Nice.
See how quickly I forget things? You told me that like last night. Yeah. I already forgot. That Greg guy. Yeah. What a knob.
That Greg guy.
All right, so there was the new player experience. There was Zaku. Was there anything else before we just get straight into Heart of Deimos?
No, I think next is Heart of Deimos.
Okay, Heart of Deimos. Where to start, Lucas?
Heart of Deimos. How about characters?
Okay, characters. There are a bunch of characters in Heart of Deimos.
There are a bunch of characters in Heart of Deimos. And I actually like most of them.
I think I like all of them. Sun, as he's called, is a bit of a whiny little biatch, but...
He kind of creeps me out a little bit.
Yeah.
gotta be honest, he kind of creeps me out a little bit. Like, he's nice to us, and he whinges about his family all the damn time. So, yes, he's a whiny little biatch. But when you, sometimes when you go to leave talking with him, he'll say something like, was it goodbye, my little sparkle or some shit, like,
you shiny
individual or something. It's really kind of creepy.
Interesting. I haven't noticed that.
Until next time, you shiny thing, you.
Maybe I haven't paid enough attention. Fair enough.
So he kind of creeps me out a little bit.
Yeah, fair. Okay, I'll have to keep an eye out for that one. Haven't noticed that. One thing you did say last night on stream, that, and those for anyone who might be going to look for last night's stream, please don't.
please don't.
We had difficulties with the stream last night. So not only was it short, it's I don't know if any of it even worked. So
it's choppy.
But anyway,
it's choppy and gone and just done. Yeah. Don't even bother.
But one of the things you did say on stream, because I could hear you at least, was that it's a very, very narrative based, not just the initial story leading into it, but the whole grind through everything is very narrative based, and I really like that.
Yeah, it is. It is a very narrative based reputational grind. Like, every time you level up with the Entrati, you learn something new about the family and, you know, the struggles between each family member, and you also learn a new family member's name.
Yeah.
Like, they each gain a name as you progress. So it's really, really damn cool.
Yeah, I hope there's going to be something really interesting learned when you hit rank 5, like in Fortuna. We will see if it is as impactful. But, yeah, it's really interesting. And the characters themselves being part of this family that all seems to hate each other, but still works together in some way, is really, really interesting. And they all have their part to play. And at first it's confusing learning where they even are within the Necrolisk, which is the name of the main center.
Yeah.
But as you start to learn who they are and what they're for, you start to really understand where they fit, and why the sister is the fish chick, and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, I think it's fairly well written for something that was possibly thrown together fairly quickly, and I'm sure the team worked really hard on it. I don't want to make it sound like it was just a hodgepodge of something, but it's really well done.
Yeah. Daughter is my favorite character.
Daughter's your favorite?
Yep.
Okay.
It's just, there's just something about her personality.
Fair enough. I don't know. I don't know if there is anyone that I like the most out of. I probably like Grandmother most.
Grandmother's nice.
I don't know why. She seems very paternal. She also doesn't seem to be hiding something like everyone else kind of does. She seems to have all her cards out on the table, and just, she seems to be really straightforward, unless I'm wrong and I'm reading her wrong and I'm going to learn something very tricksy.
Maybe. I mean, we still haven't really received any indication on the name or even who Grandfather is. Man of the Wall.
No, exactly. So, yeah, we will learn that, I guess, as we unlock that second grind for the Necromex and stuff like that. What do you think of Lloyd and Otak, the Cephalon?
I fucking love him. Straight up, I love him. Like, I know a lot of people are getting annoyed with him, you know, basically calling him the new Claptrap, and I completely disagree. Claptrap was in no way, shape, or form even tolerable.
Yeah, exactly. I actually quite like them.
Yeah, yeah. Lotek and Lloyd are really damn cool. Really well written.
Yeah. One thing that people don't like about, say, Otak in particular, is when you go to the mining thing, he always says the same damn things, and it does get annoying. But that's the same with everyone you go and talk to. I mean, we say that it's annoying for Otak, but what about Konzu saying early lunch? That's just become a little joke. Nobody says it's annoying.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about Otak that people don't really gel with, but personally, yeah, I prefer Otak to Lloyd.
Absolutely. There's one line in particular that Otak says that is just gives me a little bit of a chuckle every single time, and it's the one where he's like, "Gratitude." thankfulness.
Oh, yeah, I think he means
blurts out a few words. Yes. I believe he's trying to say thank you.
Yes, that does give me a chuckle, but my favorite one is, mining isn't the only thing I like. I also like mining. every time I hear it, it makes me laugh. And I don't care if I hear it 100 times. It'll still make me laugh.
So work for the future and mining and improving the future and also mining.
He's all right. Stop being so mean to him, you big meanies.
Otak is awesome.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Otak as well. All right. Now, there are other characters here and there that you will talk to.
But they don't matter.
But they don't matter. Let's get into the world itself. What do you think of the world
itself? The world itself. Oh, beautiful. Gorgeous. Beautiful. Wow. Wow. Beautiful. Gorgeous.
It really is. For an infested landscape that's covered in boils and stuff that you can explode and maggots pop out of things and all this kind of stuff, it is absolutely gorgeous.
Almost everything is breakable.
Yeah. And how fun is it to break everything? It's like fucking...
so damn fun.
Bubble wrap. You've got to pop it all.
It doesn't matter what I'm doing. It doesn't matter what I'm doing. I just run through the world and I shoot everything.
Yeah.
Everything is shootable.
It's great because there's so many resources you pick up too.
Yeah.
You pick up so many resources.
I'm not even trying to farm for resources. I'm just getting resources because I'm destroying the environment and it's fun.
Exactly. I mean, I guess the problem is going to be that eventually we're going to get to this point where we have finished the grind. We'll talk about the grind a little bit later, but we'll finish the standing grind and we're just going to keep collecting resources, but probably we'll be able to feed them to Helmuth.
Yeah.
But I guess eventually we're probably going to be mixing and matching our Warframes long into the future, so...
Definitely.
I don't think we'll ever keep building up resources. But, yeah, you keep collecting a whole bunch of resources. Some are harder to get than the others, but even some of those little things you can pop out there are full of resources, sometimes even the rare ones.
Yeah.
It's kind of awesome.
Crazy.
The enemies. What do you think of the enemies?
Wow. Bitey Scratchkins is my favorite thing.
Yeah, Bitey Scratchkins is awesome. But even more, I like even more, is the bigger version of him. The big orange one.
The Carnus Rex.
Yeah.
Cool. That thing is so damn awesome.
One thing I love that they've done in this is they haven't just created new enemies. They've created new big enemies.
Yes.
Because it's one thing to be going around shooting little dudes that are running at you, but it's another thing when those dudes are massive.
Abso-frickin-lutely.
Some of them are killed a little bit too easy for my liking, but they still look cool while they're there. You really get overwhelmed when you're doing vault runs.
Yeah.
The enemies are great. When you're
pretty much doing anything. Yeah. Have you noticed the range on some of those enemies?
Range of what? Like
their attacks. Like their attacks. Yeah, projectiles especially. Like I've been a good 80, maybe even 100 meters away from enemies and that I've just seen as like a speck on the distance and they've still been able to freaking hit me with pinpoint accuracy with their freaking vomiting projectiles.
Yeah, I find that a little bit annoying because sometimes you can't even tell where it's coming from.
It's like, what the frick, man?
Yeah.
I'm trying to mine here.
I kind of, yeah. Okay, let's talk about mining. You brought it up. What do you think of mining?
Resources everywhere.
Mining needs some tweaks though.
Oh, there's nowhere that you can't mine, essentially. you turn on your frickin' your miner and all of a sudden it's like, boop, okay, cool, there's like 20 crystals in this general vicinity.
But 75% of them are hard to find.
But 75% of them are hard to find because they're hidden under boils and fleshy parts of the landscape and it's just, why?
Yeah.
Why?
So I think they need to, and it might just be a remapping of where the gems can show up on in the world, But it's just so frustrating when all you want to do, because grinding, mining is part of the grind, so you think, all right, I'm going to put aside half an hour for mining. If you did that on Fortuna or Plains of Eidolon, you'd come back with a crap ton of gems. I do it in, what's it called, Cambion Drift, and sometimes I can only find two to five gems in that time, in half an hour, because I spend half my time freaking searching high or low, and then I just give up and I move somewhere else. They did try to add like a diamond-shaped thing that shows you where they are, but only if you can see it on your screen, and sometimes, like you said, behind things.
It has actually worked out pretty damn well. Now, Kiwi mentioned, Cephalon Kiwi mentioned this to me yesterday. When you, if you go to the Cambion Drift specifically, don't go to the Necrolisk. If you spawn specifically into the Cambion Drift, the first part that you land in has no enemies, a nice little cave to get you into the actual drift. And in that area alone, heaps of crystals will spawn right there.
Good to know.
Yeah, and then they are very easy to find because there's no enemies there. You don't have to worry about getting attacked. So all you do is you just quickly mine them up, race to the obelisk, get back to your orbiter, and then respawn on the drift. Nice.
Good tips, but you shouldn't have to do that.
You shouldn't have to, no.
Yeah, no. So mining is a little bit of a frustration and a pain in the bum. What about fishing?
Fishing. Wow. Fishing is awesome. Fishing is so freaking easy.
It was when I first went to Cambion Drift and I first started trying to fish, I found it really frustrating. The fish disappear quickly if you get too close to them. But once you start to learn how the fish work in Cambion Drift, because they really do work differently there.
Oh, much, much differently.
It's good because, again, there are certain places to get certain fish. Yeah,
as always,
so it feels right again. It's not the greatest fishing game in any video game out there, but it feels the same as fishing on other places, even though the fish are flying through the sky.
I disagree there.
In what way?
The fishing is better here. Because you can stand amongst them.
Okay, yeah. And they do look really cool floating around you.
They look so damn cool. You don't have to worry about falling into the water and respawning. No, you can stand amongst the fish.
I'll give you that. That's true. It is better because of that. Now, here's a tip. Sometimes you'll see fish in the water, or it's not really water, in the goop. In the goop.
Mucus.
Your regular fishing spears won't pull them out of the goop. But if you buy the fishing spear,
you need the brand new one
from Daughter, then you will whip it out of the goop.
Yeah, goop fishing.
Right, so we did fishing, we did mining, we did the enemies, we did the open world. What else is there? Conservation.
Boo, next.
Yeah, I hope they fix it because at the moment there's too much, you need to do too much conservation in order to progress. And it's frustrating and annoying. I like conservation when it's just a little side thing you want to do for floofs.
Yeah. Although, okay, there is one thing I do like about the conservation.
Mm-hmm.
And it ties in with what I want to talk about next, okay?
That's where we're going to next. So
We're going next.
Yep.
Alright, cool.
Go dead first.
You gotta do conservation for the new pets.
Indeed.
You have to capture the pets before you can turn them into said pet.
You can capture them without doing the conservation, though.
True, but it's still a form of conservation. You still get tags for it, so it's still technically conservation.
I guess, but you don't have to trank anything. That's what I like about it.
Yeah.
But I don't know how rare it is that you find them. I've found two since I started playing, so... It's not too bad.
The higher tier creatures I've found basically don't spawn.
you have to conserve those ones, I guess.
Yeah.
Anyway, talk about the animals. So there's both a infested Kubro called a Predacite and an infested kitty called a Vulpa. Vulpa.
Vulpa. Vulpa. Vulpa. Vulpa. Vulpa. Vulpa.
Vulpophilia?
I don't know.
Yeah, something like that. Starts with a V.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the word is weird.
Fox cat.
Melted fox cat.
Wow. Okay, so this system is freaking awesome. So as we just mentioned, you have to go out, you get your first you have to go get the base pet, right? And there are three iterations of both animal types. And you bring them back to Sun, the conservation dude. That guy, yeah. And with this system, you can mutate the captured animals into your own personal pet.
Fuck yeah, you can.
Your own personal infested pet. So it's so damn cool. Of course, the other ingredients needed to mutate said pet are items brought from Sun, mutagens and antitoxins. And there are so many damn combinations that you can do to really build your own personal pet. And it's so freaking cool. I love it.
Yeah, and it affects both the look and the stats.
Yes.
Now, yes. Do we know which component contributes to MR?
I believe that would actually be the pet itself, the species of pet. Yeah. So there should be six creatures in the air that give MR.
Okay. Good to know. Wow. That's quite a lot.
But like normal, what do you call them?
Pets.
Not pets. The
conservation.
Can't brain right now. What's the word I'm thinking of? Like the kit guns and the
modular stuff.
Modular stuff, that's the one. Like other modular stuff in the past, you actually have to guild.
Yes. Yeah, you do.
And their appearance changes upon gilding, too.
Is it?
Yes. Yes.
Does it add prime bits, like goldie bits?
It does. No, it doesn't add prime goldie bits. It opens parts up.
Ooh.
Yes.
Gross.
Yes, I freaking love it.
Interesting.
And I've already mapped out my pet that I want. It's gonna be a pain in the ass because I need to hit like rank 4 with the Entradi to be able to get all the materials for it.
Yeah, but it's something to work towards.
Something to work towards, and it's gonna be awesome.
Each of the base pet types have their own mods.
Yes.
So the only ones I've seen so far is the Pharaoh Predacite. Which I want, because I love Egyptian stuff.
Yep, and the sly...
You've seen the sly Velvet Zolfa.
Yeah, the sly fox cat.
Yeah. Yeah. What, do you remember what the sly fox cat does?
No.
I know that the pharaoh predacite guy does kind of sarin stuff. It spreads spores.
Oh, yeah, it does too.
So that's why I want to build him. That's pretty interesting, pretty cool. So, yeah, the pets is a major big change to the game that I love. Now, before we get into Vault and Necromex, let's quickly touch on the grind, the standing grind. What do you think of it?
Okay. So DE has done what they had wanted to do since Fortuna, and that is they wanted to balance the grind.
Mm-hmm.
In the past, looking at Plains of Eidolon, fishing was the primary thing to get you standing. Like, everyone went, fishing is going to get you standing faster than anything. Then Fortuna came out, and it was mining. Mining was the fastest way to get standing. This time around, you have to do everything. You actually have to do everything, because they've removed standing as an actual reward and instead replaced it with the token system similar to what Ticker had in Fortuna.
Yes.
Conservation gets your sun tokens. Fishing gets you daughter tokens. Mining gets you OTAC tokens. These tokens all have the same value. Actually, I think sun tokens are a little bit higher, I think, maybe.
Grandmother tokens are the highest, that's for sure.
Grandmother tokens are the highest, but to get grandmother tokens, you have to trade in other family tokens to get them. So In terms of the grind, it is so much more balanced than previously.
It is, absolutely. And it gives you a reason to do things. And it also means you don't have to do everything if you don't want to. It just means your progression's going to be slower. But one thing I don't like about it, the interface is a bit confusing.
The interface is a bit confusing, yes.
One thing I think they should do with the tokens is instead of me having to fucking hover over everyone to see whether I've got enough parts, put a bright shiny light around it so that I know which ones I can actually sell for without having to hover over every single individual one.
Yeah, that would definitely make things a bit easier.
It's a bit frustrating, but that's a simple change, and I think it's hopefully something that they will implement. Yeah, and if they do, it'll make it a lot better. That's really my only gripe with it. It is a little bit complicated thinking about, okay, how do I do this? How do I do that? Grandmother tokens, just for all of you out there, are definitely the best way to get standing. So if you've got 100 mother tokens, trade that 100 mother tokens in for 10 grandmother tokens. 100 mother tokens would get you 10,000 standing, but 10 grandmother tokens will get you 15,000 standing. So it's the same for everything else. If you can trade it in for grandmother tokens, you will end up getting more standing overall. So keep that in mind when you're trading. There's a lot to try and keep in mind, but yeah, standing is important as always.
You also got to remember that they are on a rotation, so that you won't always be able to trade in 10 mother tokens.
Yeah, that's also another good point.
it's all on a 2 hour, 3 hour rotation?
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly what the rotation is, but you do need to be careful. Because sometimes it'll be better for you than other times.
Yeah, much like how it was with Ticker.
Yeah. Sometimes they're expensive, sometimes they're not. Overall, I think it's a really good system. Lots of farming, lots of resources that you can turn in for tokens, lots of ways that you can get tokens.
Lots of rewards.
Lots of rewards.
Lots of freaking rewards. And now, okay, so this. Chase. Yeah, this is kind of where it gets a little bit. This is where the scale drops a little bit for me, okay? So there are so many damn good rewards. So many. Looking at the modular pets, there's a lot of work to go in there for, the higher grade or, better looking modular pets.
Yep.
Father has some really awesome weapons at his disposal.
And he's going to get more.
Yeah, and he's going to get more weapons. So that's amazing. There's already, just looking at two NPCs, there are so many damn good rewards. Then you look at Grandmother, and you have the Grandmother's little reward table, and there's a heap of capture scenes, heaps of decorations, glyphs, frickin' sigils, all that kind of stuff. There's, so much you can get from Grandmother. Shit, what else is there? There's the helmet system. Helmet system can only be purchased from Sun once you've hit rank 3 with the Entrati. So many damn good rewards. So DE has also managed to do exactly what Steve wanted and made rewards feel deserved. And feel like you've accomplished something when you receive them. So it's awesome. But the grind for some of these rewards is just so damn tedious.
Because it's tedious as it always is, and it's a little multi-tiered as well, because not only do you have to grind for the standing just to get the level, then you need to grind for the standing to buy the blueprint, then you got to grind for the resources to build the parts that you need just to build that blueprint. And sometimes some of those will actually require blueprints from other places. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Lucas, you even mentioned this morning that one of the parts you want to build is a crystal, not just a gem, but an actual crystal from Plains of Eidolon.
Yep.
So, the grind is real, and the grind will require you to go back, and especially because on PC we smashed through everything and Lucas didn't see any need for himself to actually do much of the Plains of Eidolon Cetus grind.
Yep.
So now you will be.
Gotta go back and do that. Yeah.
Exactly. So the grind is real, but the rewards are also pretty real. So I think there's good balance. And especially as a free-to-play game, grind has to balance against the reward. So I think they've done pretty well.
They've done pretty well, but I'm still going to gripe about it a little bit. Maybe they should have lowered the amount of tediousness for it.
Mm.
I think it's just maybe just a little bit too tedious.
Yeah, and I think that's something they're balancing at the moment still too, because they have changed some of the rewards. They've heard that some people are complaining about certain things. It was hard to get Scintillant, for example. Now it's not. So it might just be a balancing thing that they need to figure out, but we'll get there.
But overall, the rewards awesome. From this update are phenomenal,
yeah.
And they really make you feel like you've earned it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, let's look back at Fortuna. I was bored with Fortuna by now, but within a week I was bored with Fortuna. And the only reason I kept going was because I wanted a mower and I wanted a kit gun. But once I got one of each, I was pretty happy with it, and I just gave up.
Pretty content. There's no point continuing. It's done.
Whereas now, there's so much I want.
Yeah. Almost everybody's got something you want.
Yeah. They've managed to pull me back in fully. Like, I'm fully invested. There's things I need to get ASAP. So let's talk about some of those things. Because we have been going on a long time. We're still not anywhere near finished. Vaults, before we get to Necromex.
Vaults. So, vaults are essentially the new version of Eidolons, I guess. Yeah. Eidolon runs, yeah.
Yeah, they kind of have, but they're more like dungeons. You win.
Yeah, they are definitely more like dungeons. I'm going to have a little bit of a gripe straight away.
Do it.
Every cave is different,
but every cave is the same.
Question mark?
yeah, they're not very different, are they? You come across there's only a couple. It's, you know what it feels like? The cruise ships in Railjack.
Yeah.
Oh, there's so many different cruise ships in Railjack. No, there's only three different types. Oh, there's so many different caves in Plains of Eidolon. No, there's only two or three different cave types.
These are randomly generated caves that are the exact same every single time.
Like I said to you, they're just tile sets. So
it's not even that they're tile sets. It's like they have, like, no matter which cave you go into, right? Like if you, okay, so the basic one, the basic cave that is right at the basically at the door of the Necrolisk.
Yep.
Every single time you get through that giant freaking monster door, that layout
is the same.
Is the same damn layout every single time. The only part that has potential any difference is the actual vault. The vault is the only thing that changes.
See, I've only done two or three vault runs, so I hadn't done enough. And all of mine have caves, been different.
the caves are always the same in each location.
Interesting.
It's the vault that changes, and only the vault.
And the vault's nothing. Yeah. The vault's one room. Okay, interesting. Interesting. Well, that's a gripe.
And even then, there's only five different vaults.
Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough.
Randomly generated, my ass.
Fair enough. They weren't randomly generated. All right. So what else do you have to say about vaults, though? That's your gripe aside.
That's my gripe aside. The puzzles. The puzzles in each of the vaults really feels awesome. Like, it feels like they've decided to just throw in just something to make a little bit more exploration needed.
Hmm.
So that's really, really freaking cool. The need of Operator is there. The need for Warframe is there.
Yep.
The cracking of the vault. So when you get to the vault, you have your enemy to fight, and that is a Necromech, and it hits hard.
Very.
It hits really freaking hard. It has an immortality state where if you attack it during said state, you take damage and it's a hefty amount of damage you take back.
Indeed. Bastards.
Yeah. Its arms grow back after being blasted, so it regenerates. Well, I mean, it just picks its arms back up, but still, it regenerates. The firepower you get hit with from this thing is just... Have I mentioned it hits hard?
It hits hard.
It hits hard.
But not only that, you get absolutely swarmed by infested at the same time.
Well, no, the infestation actually is a bit on the timid side and only appears really once the necromech is taken down. But once a necromech is taken down, boy, do you get swarmed.
Probably because you guys were doing the taking down of the necromech.
Probably.
By the time the necromech was down, then I just got swarmed.
Yeah, and it's not just by, you know, normal, small, infested enemies. No, it's like constantly spawning of Carnus Rexes and all those other really big freaking infested monsters. Mm-hmm. Like, there's so much.
And they kick your ass. And then once you've done that, then you've got to basically do a little bit of a mobile defense for Otak and Lloyd.
Otak and Lloyd, yeah, like a little bit of a mobile defense. So they go around and they extract the code from these locations in the vault. Then you go to the actual vault door, and it's a
little mini puzzle. Memory puzzle.
And then once that's done, finally, you get your reward.
Yeah, and you know, I've got to say, it's great. It's a lot of fun.
It is so damn good. So damn good. Yeah, and it doesn't just stop there, because you have three tiers.
Yes.
Three tiers to this. Only accessible as long as you're within the same day-night cycle. So if the cycle swaps while you're in the middle of one, then you basically reset the run. But you do the tier one, you move to a different location to pick up the next quest from Mother from a different location, which will get you into a separate cave. You go down a second cave, and in the second one you fight two necromechs.
Oh really? I've only done tier one. What did we do tier two last night?
I think there was a bit of a cycle change in the middle of that. Too. So I think
we got to do tier one.
Yeah, so we did the tier one twice.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you get to the tier two, then you have to fight two necromechs.
Bloody hell.
And I have not actually been able to make it to a tier three yet, but
does that the have rewards three necromechs? Do.
I think that might actually be the case. Three necromechs, yeah. But the rewards do amp up for each tier of vault that you have completed.
And so, what rewards do you get from doing the vaults, Lucas?
Heaps of damn good ones. So much resources.
A ton of resources, including rare resources.
Yes, including resources from mining, fishing, and argon crystals.
Mm-hmm.
Argon crystals! Awesome.
Be happy about it. The vaults are a really good place to get your resources, but also you can get...
Necromech parts.
Yes, finally.
Broken necromech parts.
So you can get broken necromech parts from doing the void. Now, this leads us into the necromech. When you do the initial quest, we didn't really even talk about the initial quest. What did you think of it?
Damn!
It was really good. It's really only four parts. You do have to play it solo, which is a little bit frustrating. But the story of it's really good, and you get to pilot a necromech.
The best part.
Exactly. And it's not that hard, and it's not that long.
Nah.
That's what she said. But it's really, really, really good. I love that quest. Anyway, back to necromechs. Necromechs!
So awesome. Damn cool. So damn cool.
They really are. I mean, they're not the most amazing things. They do move slowly. They don't jump very high.
They feel like a mech.
They feel like a mech. Exactly. They feel absolutely like a mech. Their firepower is pretty powerful. I'm not a big fan of their melee attack. It's very slow.
It is very slow. For now. I feel like we will be seeing better melee weapons introduced.
Exactly. And it does take time to unlock. So don't think you're going to get it very quickly. Neither Lucas nor myself have unlocked it yet, although Cephalon Kiwi has managed to unlock it, so we got to see his in action last night.
Yep, I'm in the process of building mine now, and it does require materials from Plains of Eidolon.
So there you go, that's what we were referring to earlier. So you get to build your own necromech using parts that you find in the void and, well, the broken parts you find is what you can use.
Well, the broken parts are a material.
Yeah.
So you that use those. Goes towards the blueprint that you pick up from the secondary.
Exactly.
Secondary standing run.
People. Yeah. Faction.
Secondary standing faction, yeah.
Yeah, so once you level up with that faction, you get to purchase different blueprints. As we mentioned in the discussion about the dev stream, there will be more parts added to that. So that's pretty cool.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just really, really cool. As I said, I haven't built one yet, so I don't know how it works. Did Kiwi say how the weapons work? Can you use your Arcwing weapons?
Apparently you can use your Arcwing weapons as long as the weapon in question has a
Gravimag.
But the base necromech does have its own like standardized weapon as well.
Okay. So yeah. Lots of customization available. You can of course fiddle around with the colours to make it look weird, as we mentioned earlier. Cephalon Kiwi also mentioned that it has 12 mod slots. Apparently there are currently only 12 mods available to it, but I'm sure there'll be more added.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. I love this thing. I absolutely love it.
So do I. There's not much more I can say about it because I haven't unlocked the damn thing, but I really want to, and that's the one thing that I really, really want. I also want a pet. I also want infested kick guns whenever the hell they add them.
I also want the Helminth Wall.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. I also want the Helminth Wall. I forgot about that.
So much
to do. So there's so many things that's here and so much to do. And I also noticed some other mods that we haven't really talked about. I haven't seen a lot of them, but one that I saw gives you both health and armor.
Finally. Oh, yes, yes. The Warframe mods of the three new sets. Apparently each of the sets, a Warframe mod will give armor and health, but it's the set bonus that's different on each of the each of those mods. Okay. So there are three new sets, and they are pretty damn awesome. The only set I've actually picked up anything from so far is the Carnus Rex set.
Yeah, that's the one I got.
Yep.
Yeah.
I've picked up two of its mods so far. I'm trying my damnedest to get that third one. They all drop from the Carnus Rex.
Okay.
And it is just a freaking phenomenal mod set so far, what I've seen. So damn cool.
Yep, so there's mods for those. There's new mods for specific Prime weapons, including Soma Prime, including fucking Ak Bronco Prime.
Yeah.
Including, what was the other one that I really wanted to use? Ak Stiletto Prime.
Yep.
There's a lot here to love about Heart of Deimos. Yes, there's also plenty of problems. There's plenty of bugs. It's a little bit broken in places here and there. But my God, this is a good release.
And it's okay. DE's not running away on holiday before they fix this one.
No, exactly. They didn't release this just before the Christmas holidays. So, not picking on you there, DE. Okay, we are picking on you a little bit. But I don't know what else to say. I'm in love with this update.
Damn, dear.
That's why, I'm more than happy to actually upgrade my overall to a 9, because I think it actually deserves it. This is a really good update. There are problems, but it's probably the best update. I'll round mine up to an 8, I guess. But if you think about it, it's the best update in 4 or 5 years for Warframe.
It really is. It really, really is.
So, therefore, it probably deserves a 9, in my opinion. Lift it up to 9, Lucas. Go on.
Nah, I'm going to stick it at 8.
You know you want to.
stick it at 8.
That's right.
I mean, okay, perfection is an illusion. This is not a perfect update. It's a damn good one. Perfect.
9's not perfect.
No.
Even 10 out of 10's not perfect.
No, it just means it's close. Good. It's close, though, so. 8. 8 is where I'm going to sit.
He's harsh. He's harsh.
I am harsh.
He's got a cold heart. A cold, cold, icy heart. Anything else you want to say about Heart of Deimos before we move on to the end of show stuff?
No.
One thing I do want to say is it's pretty tough. You really probably do want to play it with friends. Soloing is not so easy.
Yes.
Yeah? Yeah?
Bounties.
What? Bounties, yes.
Bounties. The mission adversities in bounties is great.
Yeah. It really is. It's tough.
It's tough. It introduces a couple of new characters, a Grineer squad that you actually have to team up with, a corpus scientist who you actually have to team up with.
and they talk to you.
And they talk to you, yes. Wow, that is awesome. I love that.
It's easy to fail these missions too.
Oh, so damn
for
easy.
For silly reasons, and some of them are a little bit bugged.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure will be fixed, but they're enjoyable. Some of them are really tough. It's just good.
It's good. Done.
9 out of 10. Anyway, all right. Well, we could probably talk about this all night, I'm sure, even though it's still the afternoon here where we are. But yeah, good work, DE. Really good work. You should be proud of what you've done over the last 6 months because you've achieved something that's possibly among the best releases of, like I said, the last 4 or 5 years for Warframe, at least 3 or 4 years. And that includes Railjack, Fortuna, and Plains of Eidolon. So this is quite an achievement, I think.
Massive, massive achievement.
Indeed. All right. Where are we, Lucas?
Community call out.
That was fucking beautiful. All right. We don't really have a community call out, but you are still awesome, community. Look at you.
Yay.
Look at you over there.
Look at you.
You're all cute. I'm going to squeeze your cheeks, but you're not here. Reviews update. We don't have any new reviews, which makes me a sad panda.
Oh, sad panda.
So we got nothing to read out, but we do have a Dr. Cephalon. There were a few good questions that came out this week. Who was it last night on the stream that said, you guys should read out more Dr. Cephalons that are on the Discord? Because some of those questions are actually really good, even though they seem really simple, it means that other people are probably wondering them. So even though this question was answered in the Discord, I think it is something that other people are probably thinking about, which is why I included it. And it comes from Game of Jones on the Discord. Dear Dr. Cephalon, did you jump the first time you got dive-bombed by one of those cloak-alike infested? And how did you handle it? I almost ran off the edge of the world screaming, but then transferred out and shot myself. So, that's not the best way to handle that. And when he says, I'm assuming Game of Jones is a he, I'm sorry. When they say cloak-alike infested, they're actually referring to this little flying blob.
Face hugger?
Yeah, it comes down and hugs your face like a face hugger. And it's really fucking annoying.
And it does a little bit of damage, and it's kind of a pain in the ass.
Mm-hmm. It is kind of a pain in the ass. Now, it is interesting to transfer out of your Warframe and then shoot yourself in the face, but you don't need to do that. Don't forget, no. Warframe has a roll button. And all you need to do is roll, and you will crush and kill the
face hugger. Yep.
That's it.
But how did you react first time? First time
I went, what the fuck, what the fuck? And I ran around in circles going, what the fuck? And then I went, I'll try rolling. And it worked. But there was a lot of what the fucks. So. What about yourself, Lucas?
Pretty much very, very similar. It was very much what the fuck, running around in circles. And then I realized, wait, I'm Zephyr. So I just cast Airburst at the ground and it literally blew the enemy away.
Nice. They are still my least favorite enemy because they're so annoying, and I think that's a great enemy design. Damn
bad.
Hate them, but in a good way.
The fiery passion of a million suns.
Exactly. Every time I see it, and they shoot at you too.
They shoot at you. They don't just hug to your face. They can shoot you.
And they shoot you from so far away. Fuck, I hate them.
Damn face huggers.
But I love them as well. And I hope you'll be able to buy them as a key ring from the Warframe store in the future, because that would be cool.
Would be kind of cool.
I would happily accept commissions for that, DE.
Yep.
Actually, no, I don't care about commissions. Just fucking make it so I can buy one.
Just do the thing.
Just do the thing.
Also, frame maker.
Fuck, you know what we did, Lucas?
What did we do?
We did Dr. Cephalon without the song.
Oh, well.
Sorry, everyone. I know it is absolutely your favorite thing, but it's too late now. Too late.
It's all right. We did the community call-out song without a community call-out.
We did, too. But we always do that. Sometimes we even do Dr. Cephalon without a Dr. Cephalon segment. But still, shit happens. Disappointed. Anyway, moving right along. If you'd like to get in contact with us for any reason, because this is the end of the 111 episode, reach out to us via the website, cephalonsquared.com.
Reach out and visit our website.
Yeah, reach out and visit our website because, you know, COVID-19. Yeah, you can join our Discord, join our Facebook, all those fun things. But let's thank our patrons.
Indubitably. Thank you, Jellybug1799.
Thank you, Tsula.
Thank you, Lord Frieson.
Thanks, Danathan.
Thank you, Knight Rider 8503.
Thanks, Coyote PX.
Thank you, Soundwave.
And glad you got your computer back too, Soundwave. Thank you, Jackson31.
Thank you, Kintail.
Thank you, Shazim.
Thank you, Implosive_MKV.
Thanks, Dylan Prawn.
Thank you, Solarian.
Thank you, Ponytail.
And thank you, Le Dutch Master.
Of course. And don't forget, you people who are at the top tier of patronage, you can suggest a monthly challenge for us. There have been a few months that have just gone by without us doing challenges, and god damn it, we don't deserve it. We should be challenged. So Tsula did have a challenge set for us last night, but the stream didn't work properly, so we will be doing it next week, and that's going to be 2 lies and a truth. So, so we'll be telling stories to each other, 2 of which will be lies, 1 of which will be a truth, and we have to figure out which one is the true story. So that is an interesting twist on the old 2 truths and 1 lie game. So
yes,
we look forward to that. But everyone else out there, Dutchmaster, Implosive_MKV, I believe that is the 3. I'm not sure if there's another.
And no more exercise.
Yeah, no more exercise, Dutchy. Jeez, who do you think we are? Healthy? How about a pizza eating contest? Yeah.
I could definitely do that.
Sounds good to me. All right, that is it for episode 111. My name is Greg Newbig, and I'm Mad Capsules all over the place. Who are you, Lucas?
I am Lucas Silvestri, and I am Silverlight all over the interwebs, SILVRLGHT. Massive shout-out to our community. You guys are awesome. Keep being awesome, and I love you guys so damn much.
Yes, keep being awesome, like Lucas said, because you are awesome, and you know it. Thanks to Yarn at Disco_Box on Twitter for the intro and outro. We still love you and your nipples. But nobody's told you how much they love you in quite a while, so maybe the community doesn't love you anymore, Disco Box. How do we know if the community loves you if they don't send you a tweet at Disco_Box to tell you how much they love you? You just don't know. It's sad. Anyway, we'll be back in a week's time with episode 112. You never know, we may even be back with a mini or a lorecast in between. We haven't made any plans because we're dumb. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Cephalon Squared. If you'd like to contact us, reach out via our website at cephalonsquared.com, where you can find us via email, Facebook, Twitter, or Discord. But don't fret, there'll be more Cephalon Squared in a few short days. So don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss an episode.